Doug, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Tony.
I need a winning lottery number as the Powerball's at 125 mil, and I believe Mega's at 52 million. Can you help me?
867-5309.
Jenny. you know, when I thought of you when I saw this news report that a German company is going to purchase the New York Stock Exchange. Is that true?
That is true.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, in the end, it's probably not going to mean a whole lot. You know, I think there'll be some concern, I guess, as a nationalist, right? You hate to see an icon like that go away. But what a lot of folks don't realize is even in the United States, Tony, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they're called the CME Group now, their market value is almost double that of the New York Stock Exchange. The Hong Kong Exchange is almost three times as valuable. So although we look at, you know, the NYSE from an iconic standpoint, and for good reason, really, from a global finance standpoint, they're kind of in the middle of the road. So what's happening is, from a stock standpoint, the German exchange, the New York exchange are going to merge, look for cost synergies, all these kind of things, to try to save money and get the stock price to go up. And, you know, with a global platform where people can trade anywhere anymore. I mean, a lot of times you go buy a stock today and you just kind of may naturally think it's happening in New York. Not necessarily. It's probably being routed, and typically New York Stock Exchange trades go through electronic system and never even sees the floor. You know, we see these folks running around on the floor of the exchange, you know, kind of mad men and women. But that's kind of what it used to be. It's most of it is electronic now, and so that's what it's going to be with the German concern, but they're going to have more scale, et cetera. So that's where that lies today and probably where it ends up.
Doug, what's it mean when you own the New York Stock Exchange?
Well, a few years ago, Tony, the exchange used to be a partnership, a private partnership. So if you and I had enough capital, we could go buy a seat on the exchange in New York. Well, ultimately, because of technology and the costs associated with that, and I think people that own those seats wanted to create some value for themselves, they decided to go public. So what's happened now is the New York Stock Exchange is public just like Ford Motor Company is. So when you invest in Ford Motor Company, buy stock in that, you're looking to own stock in an automaker. Well, if you're looking for a company that gives you access to an organization that makes money in the financial markets, you could buy stock in the New York Stock Exchange. So that's where they sit today, and that's why the companies are – one of the reasons they're able to merge is they're both publicly traded, and I mean, that's really it. There's not much more to say about it, quite candidly.
You know, the market reminds me a lot of Vegas. It is so complex, but trying to figure it out is crazy. We've got the turmoil going on over in the Middle East, which puts you wonder if the oil market over there is going to be in harm's way. You've got what's going on in this country. You've got what's going on in the individual states, but yet the market's doing okay.
It's really been uncanny, hasn't it? All of the things you mentioned are certainly relevant, but the market just kind of seems to, you know, kick it out the door. We've had, even this week, we've had several sessions where we started lower early in the day, but within an hour to 90 minutes into the trading, the market, you know, turns to the upside. It did it again yesterday, and it is really unbelievable. And I think a lot of this probably goes back, and this is what is making the market a little bit difficult from a historical standpoint, is because a lot of the cues you would normally look at as catalysts for the market to pull back aren't happening. And I think that has to do with the Federal Reserve. Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman, this dates back to late August, started to put out indications that they were going to do what's called quantitative easing 2, which is simply Uncle Sam. And this may be interesting to your listeners, Tony. Uncle Sam's actually in the marketplace buying securities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting if you look at what the S&P 500, which is just simply the S&P 500, a nice proxy for the U.S. stock market, it started up on September 1st. The Fed chairman talks about quantitative easing in August of 10. Shortly thereafter, we start on this ride. And, I mean, from a historical standpoint, this is pretty unprecedented. I think we're up more or less about 117 sessions now. I mean, it's been an incredible ride. I was joking with a colleague yesterday that this, to me, right now, feels like 1999 when the technology stocks were just going crazy. I mean, it's frankly, it feels so easy to make money right now. That makes me really anxious because it's not supposed to be easy, but it feels easy right now because stocks keep going up. So the Fed's in here buying stuff. So every time the market kind of takes a dip, you know, they go in, they buy. Of course, there's a lot of retail money, too, coming through. And what I mean by that is a lot of folks got scared away from the market for obvious reasons in late 07, 08, and, of course, into early 09. The market ultimately bottomed coming off of the financial crisis in March of 09. But this is interesting, Tony. Just in the last 2 months, money flows, which is just new net money going into stock mutual funds, which had been more or less flat to negative over the preceding 2 years, is finally starting to come in. And that's another new buyer to stocks, and that's one of the things that's helping here too.
Doug Adler Wealth Management is a Raymond James company. They're located in East Lansing. What's your website?
DougAdler.com.
All right, we'll talk with you soon, Doug.
Thanks, Tony.